Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak. I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes, and it's so good to be back here with you. You know, I saved a chair for you at the table here. Please pull it up, sit down, and make it a point to spend about 30 minutes with me. We're going to talk this week about the Mass readings for the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's a bit of a tough message this week, as it sometimes is, but you know what? There really is a silver lining to the message. They don't call this the good news for a reason. Today's topic or subject is giving up your life for Jesus. Because we're going to learn today that he gave his life so that we could live. What does he ask of us? He asks that we do the same thing, not necessarily on a cross, but definitely in a figurative way, giving up your life in order to follow Jesus. You know, we can either hold on to our lives, which so many of us really want to do. We have that desire to do. We want to hold on to what we have. But in reality, if we are to be followers of Christ, we are being asked to follow him, which involves giving up our life. We can't hold on to our own way of life and have this new way of life with Jesus. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And again, it's not an easy topic. It doesn't sound too appealing, does it? Because the idea of sacrifice or suffering, at least in my case, it doesn't sound like something I really want to do until we get into the idea of having a relationship with Jesus, until we get to know him and truly want to become his follower. And do what he asks of us. You know, we call him our Lord and Savior, but sometimes we overemphasize the Savior part and we de-emphasize the Lord aspect of the relationship, right? If he's Lord, that means he's boss. That means he is going to lead us. Are we willing to follow him? That's what these readings are all about. So settle in. Let's look at them. Make yourself comfortable. We'll talk about them. And again, I really believe this message is a positive message. But it's one that we have to really work at embracing, because on the surface, it might not sound that appealing to us. So let's begin, as we do each week, in prayer. Let's talk to Jesus today. So, you know, some weeks we talk to the Father. Today, I want to talk directly to Jesus, because we are going to be asked to follow him. You're going to hear some interesting dialogue between Jesus and some of his apostles in the gospel from today's Mass. Let's talk right to him. Let's ask him to help us. Okay, you ready to join me? Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, it is it's nice to be able to have this conversation with you. Lord, sometimes, first of all, we're grateful that you are here with us and you are listening to what we have to say to you. Sometimes you ask us to do some difficult things, at least in our minds they sound difficult, but we really do want to be with you, Lord, and we do appreciate the fact that you gave your life so that we could live. We do appreciate that. That is the ultimate example of love, that you did this for us, and we want to return that love. And you're telling us, or you will tell us today, what that entails. It's a little scary. It involves letting go of our selfish desires, and we can all be selfish. Lord, I know I am. I definitely am selfish. I look out for my own interest. I have this tendency to want to look out for my own comfort, my own well-being. But in order to be your follower, I've got to let that go and follow you. So I know I need help, Lord. Why don't I just say we all need help with that? So please help us. Help us to become less selfish and more selfless. And we ask you, Lord, to help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to be transformed into your image so that we could have that same desire that you had to do the will of the Father, which involves serving not ourselves, but serving others. Jesus, I ask you to please send your Spirit today to enlighten me so that I can properly deliver this message. And please open our minds and our hearts so that we're willing to listen to what you have to say on the program today through the words of Scripture and through my comments as well. Jesus, we ask these things in your name through the intercession of your Blessed Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And, you know, it is a tough message to have to present this. It's much easier to present the do not worry message and be not afraid and we're going to have eternal life. I mean, that's all good. And certainly that's part of this message. But the idea of, well, you're going to hear it today, the idea of giving up your life, meaning putting your own needs on hold and putting the needs of Jesus and others first. That's tough. It's tough for me. I don't find the idea of suffering very attractive. I'll be honest with you. You know, I don't find loss of comfort very attractive. But I've learned in my relationship with the Lord, if I'm willing to follow him wherever he leads, even if it involves loss of comfort, loss of my own desires, I've noticed that the reward is definitely worth it. He gives us that peace that really surpasses all understanding, and he gives that, he changes our desires if we start to go along with him so that we no longer desire what we desired before. Now, this takes time. This doesn't necessarily happen overnight, but I've noticed that it definitely does happen, and it is absolutely worth it. And ultimately, the reward for all of this is eternal life in heaven. So, you know, we're talking a lasting reward as opposed to a temporary pleasure that we experience on earth. I mean, it's absolutely worth it, and it's a good deal. He's offering a good deal, if I could put it into familiar terms. And let's just pray today as we hear these readings that the Holy Spirit really touches us and inspires us to do something. I think the biggest mistake that we can make when it comes to Scripture, other than just ignoring the message, is to take the message in and let it and say, this is really nice, and then do nothing. Like, Scripture is not meant to just be thought-provoking. It's meant to be thought-provoking and action-provoking. Jesus speaks to us through the Scriptures, not just to enlighten our intellect, but to call us to action, to call us to do something. So that's my prayer today that happens. Hey, it's good to be with you once again. Hope you had a fantastic week. Just a couple of quick reminders. My website is followingthetruth.com. If you are interested in checking out my latest book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness, you can find out how to get a copy on the website. You can also sign up for my daily Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled email reflection. That's free of charge. And you can also find out how to invite me to speak at your parish or your conference. So we're in October now, but November is going to get really busy for me. October is a little light, and November gets really busy. And then I slow down for the remainder of the year. And next Lent is going to be really, really crazy. So if you would like to bring me into your parish, you might want to start making plans now for 2022. If you want to invite me in to speak, just contact me through my website, followingthetruth.com. And you know, I still have one opening left for Lent of 2022. So it is not too late to make some plans to bring me in to speak for Lent of 2022. But I would recommend you do so quickly. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. I'm going to take a sip of my water here to make sure that I'm able to get through the whole show. And let's get ready to look at these readings. Now, as I do each week, I'm going to start with the gospel. We let the gospel lead the way. The church tells us that the gospel has a prominent place among the other books of the Bible. So the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have a place of prominence, even though the entire Bible is considered by the church to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. The gospels are extra special because if we want to grow closer to Christ, the gospels are the place to start. You start with the gospels. You read about the details of the Lord's life. You let him speak to you through these gospels. And then, you know, you can communicate with him and to talk to him and have sort of a dialogue. You know what? I think we'll do some of that today. This is a form of an ancient prayer practice known as Lectio Divina or sacred reading. And I think we'll do a little bit of that. I kind of do that when I do these gospel readings, but maybe we'll turn it into prayer a little bit. I think the Holy Spirit wants me to show you how you can do that. So we'll do that today with this gospel. It's a good one because it's one that is going to maybe cause us to ask Jesus some questions. So the gospel is from Mark chapter 10, verses 35, Mark 10, 35 through 45. And I absolutely love the way it starts out. Listen to this. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, listen to what they said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Can you imagine? This gives you an idea. These two brothers were known as the sons of thunder. They were two of the apostles. And they were known for being a little fiery. And this gives you an example of what they're all about. "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Now, don't you think sometimes we pray like that? Let's be honest. We pray like that sometimes. "Jesus, here's what I need." Not, "Lord, here's what I think is the problem. I'm going to hand it over to you, but I'll accept whatever decision and whatever time frame you come up with." I know I struggle to pray like that, but yet we pray more like James and John when we, at least I do, when we pray. And I'm sure I'm not alone. "Lord, here's what I want. I want you to do for me whatever I ask of you." Now, the beautiful thing about Jesus, he's so kind and he is so patient with people. He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" Isn't that great? Now, they answered him. Listen to this. It gets even better. "Grant that in your glory, we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." This is amazing. They are trying to make sure they have places of honor in the Lord's kingdom. They don't really fully understand, I think, what kind of a kingdom Jesus is inaugurating on earth. And that it's not the traditional kingdom that they're thinking of. It's a kingdom in which he reigns from a cross. I mean, these guys, they're not getting this. Otherwise, I don't think they'd be asking this. So Jesus responds to them after they said, "We want to sit at your one at your right, one at your left, in your kingdom, in your glory." Jesus said, you do not know what you are asking. "Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" Now, Jesus is talking about this cup of suffering, this suffering that he's about to undergo on the cross. And they obviously don't get it because they said to him, "We can." Now, here's where Jesus really begins to tell the truth. Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." I think when, you know, and I'm not going to put words in the mouth of Jesus, but what he's talking about is in order to reign in glory with Jesus. We're all called to that. We're all given that option to be able to live with Jesus in heaven. But in order to do that, we've got to embrace our cross here on earth. They're looking for the quick fix. And what he's telling them is that there's going to be suffering involved. There is going to be some difficulty. It's not automatic. It's not something that you can do and just bypass all the difficult stuff that you need to do to get there. And he's also foreshadowing or giving them a hint that they are going to have to suffer. Now, James was martyred. John was not martyred. He's the only one of the apostles who tradition holds that he was not martyred. Of course, he was boiled in oil, and somehow he survived, and he did endure suffering and persecution. But they're not getting it. So essentially, they're saying the right things when they said, "Yeah, we can drink the cup of suffering." They didn't really get what they were saying, but Jesus said, "All right, I'm going to grant your request, even though you don't fully understand it." And this gets even better. This breaks down even better. When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. You know why? Because they wanted the positions of honor. All of these guys were jockeying for leadership positions in the kingdom. They felt entitled. Certainly, they didn't think that suffering was part of the deal. They were looking for positions of power. So the other 10 now become indignant at James and John, and Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you." Jesus is telling them that this is a different kind of leadership here. You're going to be rulers, but not in the traditional sense. "Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So essentially what Jesus is telling them, and really telling us too, is that the Christian life, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we're members of his body, the church, so we're members of his body, therefore we've got to follow him, we've got to do what he did. We are called, and we can reject this, but this is what we're called to do. If we're going to reign with him in heaven, which is the promise, then we have to suffer with him on earth. It doesn't necessarily mean becoming a deliberate follower of Jesus will send more tragic and painful suffering into your life. Yes, there's a certain element of persecution and a certain amount of sacrifice that goes along with being a follower of Christ. So you are going to have more suffering. There's going to be more self-denial involved. And when you put yourself out there as a follower of Jesus, you are going to endure some sort of persecution, whether it's verbal or maybe even physical at times. But there is additional suffering that goes along with being a true Christian. You know, not just going through the motions, as I did it for so many years, but putting your heart into it and really following Jesus. There is a certain amount of suffering. But in terms of sickness and the sufferings of the earth, atheists and people who are of other religious beliefs, non-Christians, they suffer too. Suffering's a part of this fallen world, so we're all going to have some degree of suffering. However, when you walk and journey with Christ in life, you have the ability to find peace even in that suffering. So just as an example, we hear this gospel. If you were to maybe sit and, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what he wants you to get out of this reading. But when you hear a reading like this, a possible response would be, "Okay, Lord, I don't like to suffer. I'm scared. Let me know. Can you help me? If I'm going to suffer, I do want to follow you, Lord, but I'm nervous about it. Can you give me some help?" You know, so that way you hear the reading and then you turn it into a prayer. You know, and then you can have a dialogue with Jesus based upon this gospel reading. That was a very short example. I don't have the time to go into a ton of detail, but that's what this whole idea of Lectio Divina is about. You read through the readings, you analyze, okay, this is what the reading says, and you just go through the facts, and then you try to apply it to your own life. What's the Lord telling me here? He's talking to James and John here, but what's he telling me? He's saying, if you want to be my follower, there's going to be some sacrifice involved. Are you willing? And then you and I, we can answer, yes, I'm willing. You know, so this is what the reading means to us. And then what do we want to say to Jesus about this? Oh, man, Lord, this is tough. But, you know, I'm going to need your help, so please help me. And I do want to get to heaven, so please help me by setting up circumstances in my life. Help me to be able to live with you forever in heaven. And then what do? The final piece of the Lectio Divina puzzle is you go out and you put it into practice. How can I live this in the world today? How can I practice self-denial by helping others? How can I willingly embrace my cross? I mean, that's a conscious act of the will. Lord, I embrace this suffering, whatever it may be. You know, so that's sort of the process where you have this dialogue with Jesus through the Gospels. Let's look at the first reading, and we'll get some supporting information from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 10 through 11. And you'll see why the church chose this reading from Isaiah to match up with this particular gospel. The Lord was pleased to crush him in infirmity. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, which is what Jesus did. So this foreshadows or prefigures the sacrifice of Jesus, because it's written before Christ was born. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life, and the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. On the cross, Jesus did the will of his Father. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. So what we see here is an example of what Jesus did for us, for you and me, on the cross. He took on our sins and died for our sins and rose from the dead so that you and me could, through grace, through the grace given to us by him, could live forever in heaven and be forgiven of our sins. He paid the price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 33, Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you. Our hope for heaven rests in Jesus. You know, and what he did for us, he delivered us from death, as mentioned in this psalm, and he preserved us in spite of famine. You know, we can't do this on our own. We can't make it to heaven. We can't work our way into heaven by good deeds. The only way you and I can get to heaven is through the grace given to us by the Lord and through the victory that he won on the cross. You know, and that's the only way that's even possible for us to get to heaven. So in order to do that, in order to be able to live forever in eternal happiness, what we need to do is follow Jesus. He's going to lead us there. He's going to lead us there, but we need to follow him. And that can be tough sometimes, because if we follow him, it involves embracing your cross. And there are going to be some crosses you can't avoid, but there's others that you absolutely can choose to take on yourself. Do I want to go out of my way, give up some of my free time and help my neighbor who needs me? Do I want to help somebody in my family? Do I want to spend time with the Lord in prayer? That involves giving something up. It involves giving up your life, if you will. You know, and that's what this message is all about, giving up our lives, giving up my life so that Jesus can live in me. That's the secret. And that is so hard sometimes for those of us who have a fallen human nature, who love comfort, who want to do things the easy way, just as James and John did. But that's not going to work. And you know, that's not going to bring any peace either. The only way we're going to find peace in this life is to do God's will, which is exactly what Jesus did. Let's look at the second reading. It's from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And as I have said in the past, but you know, maybe you're a first-time listener, I want to point this out. The second reading isn't chosen specifically to match up with the gospel in the first reading. The gospel the first reading, and the responsorial psalm are all chosen by the church. The gospel goes sequentially. In the first reading, the responsorial psalm are chosen to match up with the gospel. Like the gospel, the second reading proceeds sequentially. Right now, we're in the letter to the Hebrews. So, brothers and sisters, since we have a great, but I like to always believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can find some kind of a connection. And I think I can do that today. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. The reminder here that we see in the second reading is that through his life, through taking on human flesh, Jesus knows what we went through or what we're going through. He knows what it's like to be tempted by the devil. He knows what it's like to suffer, to feel physical and emotional pain. He knows what it's like to be rejected. All of these things that trouble you and me, he knows. So it's not like we can say to him, you don't understand. And because he is God, we can make that connection and say, God knows what we go through. He became one of us because he loved us so much to take care of something that we could not take care of ourselves, that division, that gap between us and the Father. Jesus took care of that for us. It's an amazing gift. And if we expect to live with him forever in heaven, which he wants us to do, we need to follow him. We need to be willing to give up our own life and let him live in us. Okay? Again, it's a tough message, but one that really is hopeful. It gives us hope for the future, and it also gives us the secret to finding peace in this life, which is to do God's will. If you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. It was so great to be with you today. I want to invite you to visit my website, followingthetruth.com. If you would be so kind as to consider leaving a donation for my full-time ministry, I'd be very, very grateful. You could do that by just going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. You'll be able to securely, through PayPal, either make a one-time donation or become a monthly sponsor. And you're the reason I'm here. So because of your donations, I'm able to continue to do this show. And I'd invite you, if you're able to do it, to please consider donating to my ministry, because it is full time. I support my family through spreading the good news. And I always want to be here for you. I always want to keep this show free of charge. Your donations could make that possible. So if you would consider that, I would be very, very grateful. Followingthetruth.com. All right, I'm going to run now. I look forward to being back with you next week on the Gary Zimek Show. I'm going to be praying for you every day. If you wouldn't mind praying for me, I could sure use it, okay? Again, Gary@followingthetruth.com is the email address. If you have any questions, have a fantastic week. Remember that if you're doing God's will by embracing your cross, you're going to get tremendous peace, not just forever in heaven, but here in this life as well. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.